Good morning, everyone. Hey, today we're going to be in Luke chapter 13, 10 through 17. And that's where we're going to be reading from, where Jesus sets this woman free from a disability that has been caused by Satan. And just before we get started, I want to point out that there's a tendency we all can have when we read in the scripture. We can get into it, and we're reading, and we're just getting data. And it's kind of really just on the surface we're reading, and we generalize the things we're reading. And we just don't personalize it. And what happens, if we don't personalize what we're reading in the scriptures, we'll end up not responding to it. We'll see the story, but we won't see God in the story, and that, in turn, not see really God in our story. So it's important as I share this, that you listen and actually personalize it. Look for what God is speaking to you in the midst of this. And because Jesus is going to make some points that each of us can have something to take away here, individually and personally, out of this scripture from Luke chapter 13, 10 through 17. So let's read that right now. It says, "Now he," meaning Jesus, "was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your disability.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, 'There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, not on the Sabbath day.' And when the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?' And as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him." Amen. Here's this story. We have Jesus. He's in the synagogue, and he's teaching, like you know, maybe on the, and it's on the Sabbath day. And as Jesus is there teaching to the people, it says Jesus saw her. Notice it doesn't say Jesus saw them, but he saw her. He took note of her. He noticed her, the individual. He took note of her. He perceived her. In this moment, I think of the scripture where Jesus says he didn't do anything he didn't see his Father doing. So in that moment, as he's teaching, I believe God clues him in here. He's about to do something in this woman's life. And Jesus sees her. Understand what's about to happen. And he perceives her. He understands her. And it says here, we see from the scripture we read, it says Jesus knows the cause of her condition. He knows it's from Satan. And he knows that Satan's using this disabling spirit to cause this disability. And he knows that she's been suffering now for 18 years. Physically oppressed, bent over. The word disability, it means to be weak and made frail. And she's bent over and she can't straighten up. And then there's also, I mean, can you imagine that for 18 years living that way, under that physical, bent over, made frail, the spiritual, the soul, the social oppressions and limitations that come with that physical limitation and oppression that she's dealing with. So here's all that's going on. And Jesus, it says he knows her. It means to perceive. He understands her condition. We see he does. And now what we see here is God's champion is showing up. Jesus. I want to read a couple of scriptures to talk about why Jesus came. We all know he came. And we say all know. We the scriptures tell us that Jesus came to give his life as a sacrifice. He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for our sins to be forgiven. But not only that, there's a couple of other scriptures that talks about what he came to do as he walked the earth and ministered to people. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the second half of that scripture says, "The reason the Son of God," meaning Jesus, "the reason he appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." And here it is, he comes into the synagogue, he sees this woman, and he sees the root cause of it. And then there's Acts chapter 10, 38. "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." So what as he's walking the earth in those 3 years of ministry, what is his purpose to do? He's purposed to destroy the works of the devil. He's purposed to set free those that are being oppressed. And he comes into the synagogue and sees this woman. See, Jesus came to bring the kingdom rule. And in order to restore kingdom order for God's people. See, Jesus sees her. And he sees her condition. And he sees the source, the demonic activity. And I can just see inside of him this cry starting to rise up. This ends now. And Jesus calls her over. This is important. Jesus just didn't just call her over to be out in front of everybody. He called her to himself. It means like call into his presence. He's calling her not just to step out front, but to come to him. Come to be with him, to himself. Because he's going to be her champion in this moment. Imagine a moment. Here it is. They're in the synagogue, normal, on Sabbath day. They're there. Teaching's happening. She's trying to blend in with the crowd. She's in that community. What is she thinking? What is she feeling in these moments? I mean, she lives in this community. Culturally and religiously, there's this belief that women, initially, are undervalued. They're not seen as the same as men. Their value is less. Look down. And besides that, she has this disability now for 18 years. Maybe, probably, seen as a judgment. Maybe something, oh, you maybe did something wrong. Or your family. Some of the way they viewed things. So here she's living with that. And she's probably been singled out before. Embarrassed. She's, you know how people are. They talk about people. You talk about them. Maybe shunned. Maybe ignored. Shamed. Even blamed or belittled. Maybe she's got to a point where she's thinking, this is God's judgment on my life. Maybe even wondering, does God care or even know about me at all? Yes, he does. Jesus is going to prove he does know about her. But she's probably here just surviving. She has no real hope anymore. That's gone. She doesn't have a sense of any destiny or purpose anymore. See, her life and her whole identity is now become wrapped up in this disability, and this is all that she has for life. That's who she, even the others see her, that's her identity. And then in the midst of it, Jesus calls her out front. She's probably been called out front before. Maybe he's been singled out, I don't know. But she comes walking forward, bent over, looking down, not able to look up or look ahead. Has no idea what's about to happen. And she gets up close to Jesus. Jesus says, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he puts his hands on her. She feels his hands touch her. And in that moment, there's this surge of power. And all those demonic forces that were holding her down, disabling her, are now themselves disabled and made powerless by the power of Jesus. And here in that moment, that oppression, those 18 years are cast off. Life comes flooding into her. And she's made straight and she's restored. She stands up tall. She's reinvigorated. She has fresh hope and vision, not just because she can see in front of her and seeing everybody, but also in her thought life, in her heart. My identity is changing. And what's her response? The scripture says, it says she glorified God. Can you imagine? If you suffered like that for 18 years. I mean, I suffer, if I have a sore muscle for a couple of days, I'm complaining. I'm so grateful when those couple of days are over. Or if I'm sick for something. How about you? 18 years with this. 18 years. I'm sure she was ecstatic. Just glorifying God. And everybody else was, right? No. That's not what happened. Let's read verse 14. It says, she glorified God. Doesn't say anybody else. In fact, it says, but the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, there are 6 days in which to work out, in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed. Not on the Sabbath day. See, it wasn't just the synagogue ruler didn't rejoice with her. He was indignant. But it doesn't say anything about the others in the synagogue that rejoiced. Not until later on when Jesus responded. We'll talk about that later. But can you believe this? Here is the ruler of the synagogue. He knows this woman. He has seen her suffering in this condition And he's mad, not happy that she's healed. Mad that she's healed, not happy. He's more concerned. He's answering to the people. He's trying to control the people. To hold this distorted view of something God gave them of the Sabbath day. So he's more concerned with people agreeing with him and obeying his distorted version of God's way and God's rules. And more concerned about them holding to his same distorted value system. Then he's more concerned about that than the woman's well-being and her future. Man, his heart has been revealed. Just realize this. Every time God breaks in one of those moments, hearts are revealed. People's true value systems and belief systems come to light. And why does he do it? He doesn't do it because he wants to condemn people. He wants people to be free. He came to destroy the works of the enemy, to set free and heal all those oppressed by the devil. And oppression is not just in physical form, it's also in sometimes in belief systems and values we hold and teachings and these thoughts we have that are not just right. So here he has his heart revealed. He has no clue of this woman's, or any woman's for that fact matter, their true identity and their value before God. He doesn't understand it. Let's read verse 15 and 16 again. It says, "Then the Lord," meaning Jesus, "answered him," that's the synagogue ruler. "You hypocrites." He's answering the synagogue ruler, but who else is hearing this? The crowd that's there in that synagogue are hearing this. They've heard the synagogue ruler say, and they're probably under that teaching, and they've heard that for a long time now, and they agree. But I wonder how they feel about the woman being healed. But here Jesus says something so everybody can hear, because he wants everybody to be free from anything that's distorted that oppresses them, and they miss God's goodness. And he says, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Jesus tells it like it is. He doesn't pull any punches here. "You hypocrites! You're frauds. You're just actors putting on a show. You're counterfeits." And then Jesus uses his how much more argument metaphor to confront and to correct anyone who has been pulled into these distorted beliefs, this distorted value system that they've held on to. See, if someone cares for an ox or a donkey, they should care even more for the person. And Jesus here is hopes that there will be changes of hearts. Hearts are being revealed, and his hopes that they see and they come to their senses and they respond and their hearts are changed. So he's challenging them to look at all the things they have misplaced value on and care for before and above what God truly values. And in this case, it's this woman. This daughter that God gave them is a fulfillment of his promise to Abraham. See, Jesus sees who God created her to be. And Jesus uses this term daughter here. And that word daughter there, it's an expression of affection and kindness. She and every woman is an object of God's affection and kindness. And he wants her to realize this. In his culture where she has been undervalued, and every woman in that synagogue has been undervalued, he is pointing out she is a daughter. She's an object of God's affection and kindness. Not only that, she's a daughter of Abraham. She's a fulfillment of a promise that Jesus made to Abraham. And that Abraham would have many descendants, and that those descendants would bless the nations. He's reaffirming who she is, created to be by God, a gift to them, a blessing to the nations. She's a child of promise, a child of hope, a child of destiny, given as a gift to them, to that group of people from God. And Jesus is letting them know, letting those that are listening know that they are oppressing God's gift to them. See, he's picking her up. Not only is he healing her, he's now picking her up like a banner and waving it. This is a daughter of Abraham. This is God's promise to you being fulfilled. This is a child of hope. This is a child of destiny, a gift from God. And we need to see her that way. And see, he's not just saying it for that one woman. Every woman in that synagogue would have heard it. And every woman today needs to hear that. See, there's more than a physical disability here. This physical disability and healing that's happening for this woman are also a picture in the natural that gets at a deeper spiritual disenablement and healing that needs to take place in these people's thinking and in our day also. See, Satan is using misguided, distorted religious beliefs to keep this woman and other women bound and disabled from knowing and living out their true identity from God. In God, rather. See, there's been times throughout church history that the church, and I don't mean the building, I'm talking about the people of God, have held and have used some misguided beliefs to justify incorrect views and treatment of women. And it has disabled women from becoming all that they're supposed to be in Christ. And the thing is, it's not just disabled women. Who else is it disabled? It's disabled the church. And I don't mean the building. I mean the people of God, the community of Jesus followers, disciples, this community of Christ. When we disable individual groups of people within that community, we disable the community of Christ. We oppress the church, the bride of Christ. The real oppression that can really hold down women and hold down the community of believers are often these long-standing, distorted cultural or religious beliefs that are oftentimes just overlooked, left unchecked, and are never realized as being a problem until someone like Jesus shows up and he points them out and upsets the status quo and calls people to the truth. And that's what Jesus did. You hypocrites, you're frauds, you're just actors putting on a show, you're counterfeits, you're not holding to the truth. The woman in this story is also a representative picture, not just of spiritual oppression, but also it's a picture pointing to a whole other woman. That woman is the bride of Christ, the fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. See, the bride of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, his bride. That's who she's a picture of. And see, there's these long-standing traditions, these religious institutional beliefs and value systems that are distortions of the truths that develop and they take root in the church. And I mean the church, I mean the people, not the building. And see, these beliefs and value systems that are distortions of the truth, they go unchallenged and they go unchecked. And they oppress and they weaken, they cripple the bride of Christ from fulfilling her destiny. See, there's this metaphor Jesus uses where he uses this word, the manger. And here this woman is bent over, she's been oppressed, she's been confined, she's been stalled. That's what that word manger says, stall. It's a place where animals were kept and confined. It's a place of confinement, being hindered and restricted, just like this woman was. You know, another thing about mangers, there's not a lot of light or vision there. Just like this woman is bent over, she's forced to look down. She can't look forward. She can't look up. She can't see ahead. No vision. And then there's this animal that's being untied. He says, they're untied and they're led away away from the manger to be watered, to where water is. So this picture of this animal being untied is the picture of the bride of Christ being freed from and brought out of those distorted belief systems that have stalled and hindered and confined the church and the people of God. And then this animal is being led out like this, the church being led out to a place of water, a place of light, a place of refreshing, a place of being their thirst being satisfied and giving clear vision ahead, understanding who they are, who God created them to be. And Jesus is saying to the woman, to his bride, be free from the distorted beliefs and value systems that are confining and oppressing and impeding you. Be empowered now. Be refreshed. Here is new vision and new hope and new identity for you. See and live out your promised identity and your destiny as the object of God's great kindness and affection and his vehicle for bringing his blessing to the nations. Just as Satan in the garden worked to deceive the first man and woman, he works now trying to hinder the church from knowing who they really are. He has and will continue to try to keep God's people from being all God meant them to be. and he will try to use these distorted, faulty beliefs and value systems to do that. And see, we, like Jesus, we the people of God, like Jesus, should stand against anything that disables his people. See, we don't want to be like the manger. We don't want to be like the manger that oppresses and confines and hides the bride of Christ. We want to be a gathering of people where women, our daughters, our sisters, our wives, our mothers, and the bride of Christ can find healing, and where they are freed from what has bound them, where they are empowered and equipped and encouraged, resourced and released to become all God has destined each one of them to be, so the bride of Christ can be all God has purposed her to be. We close with verse 17, where we finally see all the people rejoicing. And as he, Jesus, said these things, his adversaries were put to shame, but all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done for him. See, now they're free. See, the woman gets free, and then they start to see and understand the belief systems that have oppressed them, and they see what Jesus is calling them to, and they are now filled with joy for the glorious things God has done, not just healing the woman, but also bringing healing to them. We don't want to be Jesus' adversaries. We want to be his people that rejoice and are grateful for all the glorious things he does for us and the gifts that he brings into our life. We want to be his voice in our day to call women and call the bride of Christ to the champion Jesus. So let our words and our works empower and enable women in the bride of Christ to fulfill their destiny.